KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO.
A major ruling in the fight for $30 car tabs. I'm Jeff Pogula with the latest from a King County judge.
An MIT professor says the MAX problems were even more dangerous than first thought. I'm Charlie Harger with the story.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The Supreme Court will have the final say on whether President Trump's financial records will stay private or not.
Depending on the Supreme Court's decision, the president may finally have to give congressional committees and local New York prosecutors his financial records and tax returns. The president and Treasury Department have fought months-long court battles keeping those records private. The lower courts have said the president must give them up. The Supreme Court, now the court of last resort. It could decide the case by next summer.
ABC's Andy Field. The House is expected to vote next Wednesday on two articles of impeachment against the president. He says Democrats are staging a baseless witch hunt.
These are bad people, they're sick people, and they're corrupt.
The House Judiciary Committee today approved the articles, the vote along party lines. First Lady Melania Trump is weighing in for the first time since her husband mocked teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg on Twitter after she was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Melania Trump's spokeswoman would only say this about the president's words. The president and First Lady often communicate differently, as most married couples do. The First Lady has been quick to object when people make comments about her own teenage son, Barron. Her spokeswoman telling CNN, this is different because Barron is not an activist who travels the globe giving speeches. He is a 13-year-old who wants and deserves privacy.
ABC's Kira Phillips in Washington. Facebook's stock dropped almost 3% on word that the FTC may take action to prevent the site from integrating its messaging apps. Police divers returned to the waters around New Zealand's volcanic White Island to search for the remaining two victims after an eruption that left at least 16 dead and dozens severely burned. Police believe one of the missing bodies was sighted in the water close to the island by rescue teams the day after the eruption. The location of the other body is not known. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Evening News.
47 degrees in downtown Seattle at 6:02.
I'm Elisa Jaffe with Rick Van Sice. Here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. A King County judge has struck down Tim Eymond's motion for outside counsel in the $30 car tabs case. The latest from KOMO's Jeff Pogula.
Eymond, who is also running for governor, wanted the attorney general removed from the case, arguing that the AG had intentionally done a poor job of defending Initiative 976. But the judge denied that request and went on to say that Eymond filed the motion improperly anyway. However, Eymond and others were granted intervener status, allowing them to become co-defendants in the case. In a statement, the AG's office says it is not surprised by today's rulings. Eymond says those rulings came from a kangaroo court. Jeff Pogula, KOMO News.
The Washington State Department of Transportation has been awarded more than $57 million over construction delays for the Highway 99 tunnel.
Specifically, because they finished the tunnel almost 3 years later than they said they would in the contract.
That spokeswoman Laura Newbor and a jury found that the contractor, Seattle Tunnel Partners, was responsible and ordered them to pay $57.2 million in damages. An appeal is expected.
Earlier this week, we learned the FAA quietly conducted a study following the crash of the first 737 MAX and projected up to 15 crashes in the coming decades. But KOMO's Charlie Harker tells us a statistics professor believes those numbers were very low.
MIT professor Arnold Barnett tells Forbes he believes the risk was 24 times worse than the FAA's estimate. He says if even 1% of pilots didn't follow the proper procedures for dealing with a malfunction on the MCAS system, it would be catastrophic. The plane has been grounded as Boeing completely reworks the MCAS system. Barnett says the groundings should have happened following the first crash. Charlie Harger, KOMO News.
The driver of a tour bus is dead after hitting a stopped school bus on a rural road in central Washington. We're told it was foggy in the area at the time of that crash this morning. The State Patrol says some children on the bus suffered minor injuries in that crash near the town of Quincy. The bus belongs to the Quincy School District. All the students on that bus, age 5 to 15, were taken to Quincy Valley Hospital where they were reunited with family.
Still ahead, if you owe for an overdue book at the library, why you're in luck. And at 6:04, if you're
Got to drive somewhere? Why, you're not in luck. No, just kidding. Here's Sue Romero with our AAA traffic.
Yeah, you're not in luck if you're coming from, say, Lacey or Olympia and you want to get to Tacoma, because on your way, there's still a car fire that is blocking at least two lanes. Northbound I-5 at the main gate of the base, that's about milepost 120. It is backed up from before the Nisqually Bridge. That's about 6-7 miles. Southbound drivers can still see the action in the northbound lane, so southbound will be tough from at least Bridgeport Way down to the main gate as well. Also problems farther north. Northbound 167 in Renton, there's an accident right before 405 in the left lane. That'll have you slow from 180th. The accident that was southbound I-5 in Kent before the Kent-Des Moines Road has been clear, but that's tough from South Center. We have a new accident reported on northbound 405 at 181. That's the West Valley Highway blocking the right lane and backing up to the I-5 merge at South Center. And the accident in Everett, northbound I-5, right before State Route 526 or closer to the 112th overpass, that is blocking a lane and slow from about 128th in South Everett. Your next Como traffic at 614.
If you're heading over the passes on Stevens, no restrictions, but on I-90, Snoqualmie Pass traction tires are advised. Talking about the weather now, here's Shannon O'Donnell.
Well, hi, everybody. Heading into a Friday night with holiday and Christmas parties galore. It's beautiful out there. It's drying out pretty nicely. Just a few pop-up showers here and there. Otherwise, we're trying for drying as we head into this big December weekend. If you still need to grab the tree or string up the holiday lights, you're in luck because the weather will cooperate. It does start clearing out little by little, but we lose the little bit of warmth we do have. Temperatures over in the weekend days, especially by Sunday, struggling to even cross 40 degrees. In the Como Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Shannon O'Donnell.
47 in downtown Seattle, Como News Time 6:06.
You probably won't be seeing many e-scooters on sidewalks when they come to Seattle next year. The city published an environmental review this week, and the review proposes that the scooters be limited to 15 miles an hour and be barred from sidewalks. They would be allowed in bike lanes. The city of Seattle has been working on a pilot scooter program for months.
Well, if you're scrambling to get your holiday shopping done, watch out for scam artists. A lot of thieves are using a tracking code scam to get your money when you use peer-to-peer websites like Etsy. They give you a code, which you check after a couple of days, and says your package was delivered, but in reality, it wasn't.
Know that a lot of these peer-to-peer sites, it's not as secure as sometimes you want it to be, and if the package looks like it's been delivered, sometimes you're not going to get that money back in the way that you're hoping to.
Ben Spradling with the Better Business Bureau says you need to make sure you understand the refund policies and avoid deals that appear too good to be true.
The Seattle Public Library will eliminate daily fees for overdue materials and will forgive existing balances starting January 2nd. The change in policy follows the approval of a $219 million Seattle Library levy, which was passed in August. The Seattle Times reports the levy will pay for the loss of revenue caused by eliminating fines, as well as for extended hours for many library branches, seismic renovations at several sites, and additional programs for patrons.
Well, he brought some of the biggest bands of the 1960s to Seattle. Como's Bill O'Neill looks back on the life of Boyd Grafmeyer.
Born in Bellingham and raised in Seattle, Boyd Grafmeyer booked weekend shows at the Eagles Auditorium. Including a Doors show in 1967 that saw 4,000 people turned away just after the band released Light My Fire. He was the driving force behind the 1969 Seattle Pop Festival, which drew more than 50,000 people to Woodinville to see the Doors, Santana, the Byrds, and more. Grafmeyer, who had been battling throat cancer, died Monday in Port Townsend at the age of 79. That's where the Seattle Times reports Grafmeyer spent the final years of his life, living in a small apartment and walking several miles a day. Bill O'Neill, Como News.
Oh, I hope my son's not listening to this because he always has to have the newest and latest and greatest. Microsoft says it's coming out with a new video game console called the Xbox Series X. He probably already knows it's coming. The head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, made the announcement during last night's Game Awards and said the Series X will be released during the 2020 holiday season.
Xbox Series X will lead us into the future of console gaming. Our fastest, most powerful Xbox will set a new bar for performance, speed, compatibility.
A tweet from Microsoft showed the new console and called it the most powerful Xbox ever. The Series X will come with a Bluetooth-enabled controller that has a rechargeable battery, which Microsoft says has up to 40 hours of life. The reveal comes a few months after Sony announced its new console, the PlayStation 5, which will also launch in the 2020 holiday season.
He's probably going to buy you one, right?
Well, he better now that he's graduating from college. It's his turn, right?
6:09 at Como News. If you're ready to make a difference in a local family's life, the this holiday season. You know, this is our annual Como Toy Drive benefiting the Salvation Army. And our own Brian Calvert introduces you to some local parents who really need a Merry Christmas for their kids.
Every year I meet a lot of people in need, and their stories will certainly touch your heart because most of us can relate.
I got hit by a car going to work, broke my femur, and I've been out of work for a while. So it's only been like my wife working right now at the moment. And I'm just slowly getting back to work on light duty now.
Enough hours to pay the rent, but not enough hours for Christmas.
You want to talk about how your heart sinks and you're sitting there with your daughter and you're like trying to figure out, okay, how's daddy going to do this? How are we going to make this work?
Because you want to be successful for your children. You want to be, everything's okay, and you don't want them to know we're struggling.
Well, I lost my job back in August and haven't been able to get financially stable again. And I actually used to volunteer for these guys like 10 years ago. So it was kind of nice to be able to come back, and they're still here to help us, you know, give our kids somewhat of a Christmas.
Thanks to your kindness today, the kids of all these parents will have gifts to open this year. And perhaps when they grow up, they'll remember your kindness and they'll give to the next generation of struggling families. These are the reasons why we do what we're doing today.
And Brian wants me to remind you, and I'll be happy to do that, that the drop-off points for Fred Myers and Issaquah Bothell in Puyallup will be taking your toys for another 50 minutes. And, of course, you can go online at comonews.com/toydrive.
Time to check in now with Bill Swartz at the Harley Exterior Sports Desk. On to the Elite Eight for the Husky volleyball team.
Senior Kara Bajima recorded 24 kills and 13 digs, leading the University of Washington to a Sweet 16 win over Kentucky. Up next, the Huskies play number one seed Baylor on their home court in Waco, Texas, tomorrow afternoon. Now, Kara Bajima and UW is ready for a hostile environment.
I think that playing in away arenas gives us a little bit of that edge, and I like it. I like when people are against us. I think it motivates every single one of us.
UW football continues Las Vegas Bowl workouts here in Seattle. The Dogs players also finishing up fall quarterfinals. Follow the Huskies and Boise State Broncos next Saturday at 4:30 on both Como Radio and TV. The Seahawks are bringing offensive lineman Ethan Posick off injured reserve, but put running back Rashad Penny in that same category. Jadeveon Clowney has been sick all week, and linebacker Michael Kendricks is doubtful with a hamstring injury. The Hawks go to Carolina for a Sunday morning contest with the Panthers. Sports updates at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Swartz on the home of the Huskies, Como News.
An update now on a story we brought to you earlier this week about hackers and home security systems.
There are growing concerns from customers around the country that hackers are increasingly breaking into their Ring home security cameras, using the popular devices to spy on.
I can see it in the bed. Come on, wake the f*** up.
Taunt.
And it goes like doon, 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 doon.
And even extort residents. Listen to this.
Pay this 50 Bitcoin ransom or else you will get terminated yourself. Right now.
That's the voice of an alleged hacker who gained access to Tanya Amador's camera in Texas.
It was coming from the camera. It really catches you off guard.
Other disturbing videos have surfaced this week. In Florida, an alleged hacker directing racist comments at this Ring owner.
So did your child come out black or like kind of like light-skinned? I don't know.
What?
Experts say this is part of a larger security crisis affecting the ever-growing market for smart home devices connected to the internet, like doorbells and hidden cameras.
It's not a breach of Ring accounts. It's that they're finding breached passwords and usernames from other incidents totally unrelated, and then checking to see if users of Ring accounts have reused passwords on multiple services.
Meanwhile, Ring responding with a statement saying, quote, "We have no evidence of an unauthorized intrusion or compromise of Ring systems or network. Unfortunately, when the same username and password is reused on multiple services, it's possible for bad actors to gain access to many accounts."
Companies are really concerned about too much friction, just too much effort to set up the device. They're worried that if it's too hard, someone just won't do it.
Experts say to combat this problem, customers should practice good password hygiene and enable two-factor authentication to keep bad actors away, but also say this is just the beginning of a larger issue with the Internet of Things. Everything being connected makes everyone vulnerable.
That report from ABC's Will Reeve.
at 6:14, let's find out what you're going to face on the roads. Sue Romero with our AAA traffic.
I think you might be facing a lot of brake lights if you're going north, trying to get out of the Lacey area and into Tacoma. Long-term car fire continues to block the road northbound I-5 at the main gate of JBLM. That is about milepost 120. It is backed up well before the Nisqually Bridge, just absolutely bumper to bumper because of it. Continuing, if you head north in South King County, that is northbound on 167, approaching 405, an accident in the left lane has you backed up from 180th. An accident in Tukwila, northbound on 405 at the West Valley Highway. Tow truck has arrived at that accident in the right lane that has you backed up from South Center. And Everett has had no luck today. They have another accident still being blocked as well. Northbound I-5, just shy of State Route 526. That one blocking a lane of traffic and now slow from almost the Mill Creek exit, 164th, up to it. Your next Como traffic at 624.
Chance of rain showers tonight and for part of the day tomorrow. Then we see them backing off Sunday with more sunshine coming in toward the end of the weekend. Highs this weekend in the mid-40s and in downtown Seattle now 47.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Seattle's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
Quarter past six. I'm Rick Van Sice with Elisa Jaffe. Editing our news this evening is Jeremy Grader.
A federal agency is lending a hand to fight a national problem. The Department of Justice announced it is providing more than $330 million in funding for communities affected by the opioid crisis.
The driver of a tour bus died after hitting a stopped school bus on a rural road in central Washington. State Patrol says some children on that school bus also suffered minor injuries, happened near the town of Quincy.
From tariffs to the impeachment trial and President Trump's taxes.
Lots of news out of Washington, D.C. today, and we start with the breaking news that the question over releasing those financial records is going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. ABC's Andy Field monitoring and joins us with the latest.
Well, depending on the Supreme Court's decision, and they have decided to take this case, you know, this has been going on for months now, President Trump may finally have to hand over his personal financial records and tax returns to congressional committees and a New York prosecutor who wants to get their hands on it. The president and the Treasury Department have fought for months in court to try to keep those records private. All the lower courts have said the president must hand over those records. And the Supreme Court is the court of last resort. They have decided to take this on. They will hear oral arguments in March. And we could get possibly a landmark decision on a presidential power to keep records private. That could come as early as June.
The president weighing in today as well on the impeachment trial, should it wind up in the Senate. What are we hearing from him? Does he want a quick or an extended trial?
Well, it depends on what hour you talk to the president. Sometimes he says he wants it quick. We were hearing that perhaps he would like to get witnesses, including Joe Biden and Adam Schiff and others up there, although I'm not quite sure how those witnesses will help him in his defense. But there are other people who are advising him, no, just make this quick and dirty because there's no chance that you're going to be removed from office with the Republican majority. And here's the oddest thing about all this. The president has met with Mitch McConnell, who would basically set up the rules for the trial in the Senate because he runs the Senate as the Republican and Senate majority leader. It is almost like you or me going to a trial, and we know the jury foreman, and we invite the jury foreman over for a drink, and we say, hey, here's how I'd like the trial to go, and the jury foreman goes, no problem, sir, we're going to make that happen for you.
Another big story out of Washington, D.C. in the White House has to do with trade and China. Of course, this is very important to Washington State. What's the latest?
The president is, of course, saying this is a fantastic deal, although Larry Kudlow, his economic advisor, when pressed on some of the details, was pretty vague on this here. We talked to some economists. The president's promising anywhere between $40 and $50 billion worth of guarantees that China will buy agricultural goods from this country. If it's $40 billion, the economists that we spoke with say that would get us right back to exactly what the regular trade with China in agriculture was back in 2016. That was 3 years ago. Now they say 40 to 50 billion, but that's over the course of 2 years. So a lot of critics are saying, yeah, this is a trade deal, but basically with all this angst and all the tariffs and everything, you're basically getting back to where you were 3 years ago. So it doesn't seem to be any great victory, and it's not signed yet.
And this would be an exchange for $160 billion worth of Chinese imports that wouldn't have tariffs leveled on them?
You know, these numbers seem to be amorphous. One of the things that's interesting is that what they were going to have was a huge increase in tariffs starting this weekend that would have affected consumer electronics, clothing, toys, all the things that people buy at Christmas here.
ABC's Andy Field, Arcomo News Time 619.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. McDonald's wants to make it easier for customers to donate to charity. The world's largest restaurant chain is rolling out a new feature on its self-service kiosks. Here's McDonald's Global Chief Information Officer Daniel Henry.
Our society is becoming more cashless. And when you're at a kiosk, more often than not, you're going to pay through a credit card.
The kiosk prompts you to round your payment up to the next dollar, and the change is then donated to Ronald McDonald House Charities.
The charities provide families with sick children the ability to stay together and close to them as they're getting all the care they need while they're in a hospital.
However, it's unclear how often the feature will be used. A poll last year from MSN found people were 78% less likely to go into a restaurant that has self-service technology. With Tech Trends, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
6:20, time now for our Propel Insurance Money Update. Here's Jim Chesko.
Stocks barely budged in the final session of the week, though the NASDAQ Composite and S&P 500 were both able to finish with fresh closing highs for a second straight session. The Dow Industrials rose just 3 points today, the NASDAQ gained 17, and the S&P was just fractionally higher. All of those indexes were up for the week, though the gains were less than 1%. A prominent gainer, Adobe, the software maker's fiscal fourth quarter results reported late yesterday were a smidge above analyst estimates. Shares jumped nearly 4% today. That's your money now.
Money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. Let's get you caught up on traffic right after this.
The Como Morning News. Did you hear?
The character that Tim Allen plays in the movie, The Santa Claus.
Steve Carter.
So close.
Scott.
Oh. Calvin.
Actually, Tom, you didn't get close at all.
Did you hear? Weekday mornings at 7:25. The Como Morning News.
Have you been